And we are going to start. I'm just going to read verse 18, but I'm going to refer to some of the other scriptures in that chapter. Amen. So let me know when you have it. Say amen when you have it. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. From glory to glory. Say amen when you have it. Amen. All right. And it reads, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, God, we thank you for this day. God, we thank you, Lord, for who you are and all the things that you have bestowed upon us, Lord God, this far. God, we just ask that you would come into this place, Lord, that you would move me out of the way and only allow me to be your vessel, Lord. Only allow me to say the words that you would have me say, oh God. We are so grateful, God, for what you're about to do in this place, Lord God. God, I ask that you would touch every heart that's watching this, Lord God, whether they're in-house or online, Lord God. Touch their hearts and allow them to be aligned with your word on today, oh God, with your spirit, God, so they could receive in Jesus' name. So God, we are so grateful for you. God, we honor you and we worship you. It's in your son Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, are we up? Are we ready to eat today? Are we ready to get some word today? Amen. All right. All right, so in this particular scripture, from the verses 17 to 18, we're talking about the glory of the Lord, okay? The glory of the Lord. And it talks about the old covenant and the new covenant. And so I'm going to get to that in just a second. But as we're talking about the Lord, and we're talking about this scripture, we're going to talk about what it means for Christ to be unveiled, right? Christ to be unveiled. We go to Christ Unveiled Ministries for Christ to be unveiled and leveling up from glory to glory, right? And so a couple of weeks ago, I preached a word and I mentioned this encounter that I had with the Lord. And I don't know if I gave you the full details of this encounter, but I was praying and I was talking to the Lord and I had this really huge heaviness, this heavy spirit on me. And I needed to get it released, right? So I needed to take it to God. I needed to take it to his feet. And so I took it to his feet and God said, he said, it's time for you to move up weight classes. You see, I wrote a book called The Final Round, Fight for Your Life, which was about my life. And it was about every fight that I fought throughout my life, right? And so he talks to me through boxing terms. And so in this particular vision that he was giving me, I was in this boxing ring, but there was this huge, you know, figure, if you will, that I was getting ready to fight. But my weight was too small. And so he said, in the spirit, I need you to beef up. I don't work out in the natural. I used to, you know, y'all know I like to run, but I've been very inconsistent in the natural. And so in the spirit, he said, I don't need you to be inconsistent in the spirit. I need you to beef up and get ready for this next elevation. And so I said, okay. And then he said, then he gave me this other vision and he said, and then you're going to coach other people. You're going to teach other people how to put the weight on in the spirit and teach them how to fight in the spirit through prayer, through studying, through worshiping, right? And so during my study time, he divided the classes. You got your lightweight believer, your middleweight believer, and your heavyweight. You could probably assume which one is which, but for a quick definition, the lightweight believers is someone who's still on milk, but God is calling them to maturity. You see, when we become babes in Christ, so I'm not talking to the babes in Christ in here. If you just came to Christ, you're exactly where you're supposed to be. But for those of us who have been here for 20 years and we're still drinking milk, it's time for us to level up and go to the next weight class. Amen. We have been staying on milk when he's trying to feed us food. And then you have the middleweight believer. This believer has grown beyond infancy, beyond the milk, but has not fully surrendered to the Spirit's training for the next level. They've made progress, but still holds back in some areas. And so this person is probably the person that you remember, if you have children, you probably have done this with your child. You're trying to get them to eat some baby food, and you're like, and they're like, no, they don't want it. And you're trying to do the airplane thing, and you're like, and they're like, mm-mm, like, I don't want it. That's that middle weight class person. We don't want the solid food. We don't want to start transitioning from milk, right? And then we got our heavy waiters. These people are fully trained by the Spirit. They're mature, disciplined, and steady under pressure. That's the goal, to be Christ unveiled. And so when we get to, we're going to talk about this veil. We're going to dig into the scripture here, and we're going to talk about the veil a little bit. And so the veil is something that covers us, right? If you remember back in the old day, I don't know if many women do it much anymore. I didn't cover my face in my wedding, but the veil used to cover the woman, right? When she walked down the aisle, it covered her. And so that, if you want to kind of just have a picture, that's what a veil kind of is. It's something that's standing in between a person and another. And so this veiled situation is kind of like the old covenant. And so earlier in these scriptures, they talked about Moses. And in his time, how when he went before the Lord, after he left the Lord, he would put a veil over his face. Because the glory of the Lord, the Israelites, it was too much for him. And so he had this veil that was covered. And so in those scriptures, it was because of that glory. Can you imagine having God's glory and like sitting in with God here on earth and then not being able to show your face, right? Because of his glory. His glory was so strong. And so the glory of the Old Testament was according to the law, all right? So it was written on tablets. It brought forth death and condemnation. And the old covenant was passing away. And again, the Israelites couldn't bear to look at God. They couldn't look at God without a veil. And so that's the old covenant. And so those of us who might be, let's say, with our faces covered, going according to the law and not in freedom in Christ, when we go back to Hebrews and we're talking about those that are stuck on milk, in verse 5, 13, this is the one, this is Hebrews 5:13, and this one is the one where it says, for everyone that used milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. And so milk here represents an uncertain affinity, okay? Being unskilled means that they're inexperienced, right? And then simple-minded is the definition of a babe or child or childish, okay? So we can't be full-grown adults and we're still acting like children. We have to get to a point to where we're not on milk anymore. Now, there is a process and there is a time, right, for us to be on milk, because when we first come to Christ, we're babes. We're just getting to know the word. We're just trying to understand who God is and what Jesus did for us. And that is a lot. But when we've been here for years on years on years, that's when it's time when God is trying to pull something out of you, right? And I'm not trying to fuss at us, but God is trying to pull something out of you. And it's because he has assigned people to you that you're going to minister to, that you're going to give back to. You're going to be able to create that relationship that they maybe didn't have with Jesus yet and introduce them to being a babe in Christ, right? And so everything has purpose. Everyone has purpose. And so we also can be, our faces can also be veiled whenever we have unrepented sin. And so your sin may not be alcohol, drugs, adultery, fornication. That may not be your sin. But things that take us away from getting to know God can also become sin. And I'm talking to myself too. Sometimes I'm so tired that I can't get in there. Sleep. That can be my issue, right? Television. All of these things are sometimes, it boils down to being sin because we excessively do those things, but we don't give honor and time to God. And he gives us life each and every day. He wakes us up every morning and we can't give him 1 hour? And so when we are in that covered space, we can't even see what's on the other side of that veil because we're so consumed with what's on this side, right? And so then we have the veil that may be partially removed. I kind of thought about, this is our middleweight people, kind of thought about Judas a little bit because Judas was a little back and forth. If you look at the scriptures, he was a little back and forth all the way up until he gave Jesus over to the Romans, right? And so I really just, it's just inconsistency being a middleweight believer. Inconsistency. And so this believer has grown from the infancy, but inconsistent. They win the small battles. The small battles we're great at. We can do really well with those. But then we hesitate with the bigger ones. It's inconsistent discipline. And sometimes strong, we're sometimes strong in our discipline, but sometimes weak. And so Isaiah 40:31 says, but they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And so in a middleweight class, it requires patience. It requires us to wait on God so that he can renew us. And so what happens is God is renewing us, but we choose to stay where we are. We choose to stay inconsistent. We choose not to move forward. And it may be because multiple things. Maybe it's just the shame of facing ourselves. And I love this last point. This was in my commentary, and it says, middleweight fighters are training but still choose the comfort over full surrender. Middleweight fighters are training, but still choose the comfort over full surrender. I would rather be comfortable than to surrender fully to God. I remember I used to stay in relationships that were comfortable. I could predict what was gonna happen next. I knew exactly what was gonna happen. And then when the Lord brought me a healthy relationship, it was unpredictable. And I was like, wait a minute, I don't want to do this. Like, it's too much, right? And so we get comfortable in the middleweight believing, you know, aspect because it's predictable. You know exactly how to handle that situation. But when we fully surrender to God, it is literally a faith walk. It's a walk where you have to put your hands up and you have to close your eyes, and you have to walk wherever he tells you to walk. It's uncomfortable. It's not meant to be comfortable. And so that's where we get stuck in the middle of letting go of our old self and walking into the new. And so then if we go on to the heavy waiters with the veil completely removed, Paul talks about the new covenant, right? The new covenant is when we're fully unveiled, we have an open face towards Christ. It's written on the human heart. The Spirit of the Lord gave us liberty and life. And in verse 17, it literally says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. The new covenant brought righteousness. It remains forever, and all can look upon the glory of the Lord because the Spirit dwells within us. And the glory of the new covenant is ever increasing. And so let's talk about this freedom in verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Does everybody know what liberty is? Liberty is freedom. It's freedom. So wherever the Spirit dwells, there's freedom. So if the Spirit dwells in my heart and in my mind and in my body, I have freedom and I have life, right? And so that's the new covenant. It dwells within me. And so whatever is when Christ is on the other side of that veil, all I have to do is cut it and we're one automatically because he already dwells within you. He left the Holy Spirit. You see, when there were specific places in the Old Testament where you had to go to see God's glory, you know, the Holy of Holies and all of those in the temple. But like when Jesus came, it was with him, right? And so what happened when he left? When he died on the cross, he left the Holy Spirit. And so we are in that number where we get full access to the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is dwelling within each and every one of us right now. And so as we continue to go forward, we talk about this ever-increasing covenant. God will meet you where you are, whether you're a babe in Christ, maybe you are a lightweight believer, maybe you are a middleweight believer, but he'll meet you there. And he doesn't judge you. He wants you to come along with him. And so he wants to unveil himself to you. He wants to give you all of him, but yet we hesitate. And the greatest thing is that we go from glory to glory. And so even if you are a heavyweight and you get pretty good at being stable, he's still going to take you to another glory, because the more that you spend time with him, the more he's going to reveal himself. And so it doesn't matter what weight class you're in, he's going to continue to reveal himself to you as long as you meet him there at that space. Christ unveiled. And so I want to go back to Hebrews 5, verse 14, and it says, "But strong meat belongeth to those that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So when we're a heavyweight, we're strong, we're stable, we're eating meat, we're coming to the table to eat meat, a full course meal, right? We are full age and we're complete. We have mental and moral character. We model Christ. And we can discern both good and evil. And so we sharpen our spiritual senses. So just like we have senses in the natural, we have spiritual senses. And in those spiritual senses, we can detect whether something is good or evil. And so I want us to really understand and know and be cognizant of that, is that when you feel something that's not right in your spirit, especially when you know you're studying your word, you're reading your word, you're speaking to God each and every day, and he says, that's not right. That's discernment. He has exercised your senses to be able to tell the difference. I wasn't going to say this, but I was watching a movie with my kids yesterday, and it was about this, you know, pop star group that hunted demons, okay? And the story, I mean, the girls were good people, right? They were trying to take the demons down and all the things. It was great by the end of it. But as I'm sitting there and asking my kids questions, and we're talking about this movie, they're confused, because they're thinking that the demons become good, you know, people in this whole situation. And it's through music, right? And so if you think about our world, we think about how, you know, the devil, before he was cast down, he was the minister of music. And so he is in all of our music today, right? So in this movie, it's the same thing, and everyone kind of starts dancing to the music or whatever. And it's funny, because that's what's happening in our real world. It sounds catchy, but we don't really know what we're listening to. And it gave me a headache after I watched it, but I was trying to understand it, and I didn't want to judge, right? Like, because my kids are like, "Oh, this is a great movie." And I'm like, I don't know. And so, y'all, we got to be careful. We have to discern. And if I wasn't so in tune with the Lord, I would think the same thing they were thinking. And so I know, even the fact that God put it in my spirit to stay right now, like, I know that I was correct in that, and it just did not make me feel good. And these are what our kids are walking through, cartoons. And it's up to me and my husband to make sure that our kids know the difference. We have to level up in our weight class. Amen. And it's just a given. We have to do it. We got to be aware of what's happening in our children. And so I got off on a tangent on that, I'm sorry. But we get our spiritual senses sharpened through the word of God. And so as we go into the next part of the scripture, it says, "Beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord." We can't fully see his glory perfectly. And here, when they're talking about this glass, this is a mirror. And back then, like, the mirrors were a little distorted. They're not like the clear mirrors that we have today. They're a little distorted, so you couldn't really see the full picture, but you could see something, right? And so Paul is explaining here that you could see God, but you can't perfectly see him. right? And so my commentary was talking about how, this is Jimmy Swaggart, the Bible serves as a mirror. And so we hold up this Bible, right? And we start reading this Bible. We start finding ourselves in the Bible. The word beholding means to study. And so if the word is God, the word was with God, and the word became flesh, that's Jesus. This is Jesus. When we look at Jesus in his face, as we read the word, we then become more like him, right? We become more like him. And we start seeing ourselves in scripture. You don't have to watch TV to see, you know, those stories you like to watch. You don't have to watch TV to get drama. There's drama right here in this book. But there's also transformation, restoration, forgiveness, love, peace. Everything that we need is right here in this mirror. And so we look in the mirror every single day to brush our teeth, to make sure we don't have any hair looking crazy, right? Physically, we look in the mirror every single day. So spiritually, should we not look in the mirror every single day and then make sure that we look right before we walk out the door? Because don't catch me on a day when I didn't pray, when I didn't spend time with the Lord, don't catch me on that day, right? Look in the mirror. And being transformed, as we behold this mirror, it is a true metamorphosis. And so what I loved when I was reading Jimmy Swaggart, he said, who you started out as is nothing like who God is transforming you to become. When you look in this mirror, see, when we look in the physical mirror, we're looking at what we are today. When we look in this mirror, we're looking at who we're going to become. This is what we will become. The characteristics of Jesus: love, patience, peace, kindness, gentleness. We will become this if we just look in the mirror every day. From glory to glory. And so we want to be, our goal is to become the same image of him. When we spend time with our family, think about it, when you spend time with your family, your friends, you guys start saying the same kind of things, right? You have this same culture, right? And so when you spend time with the Lord, it's the same thing. I'm not my daughter's biological mom, but I'll hear her say, oh, thank you, Jesus, or help me, Jesus. I know that's me, right? Because I say that all the time. And so it's funny to me, and I just chuckle, and I'm like, oh, it's coming out, right? And so that's because of time spent. That's because of relationship. And so it's the same thing in this mirror. When we spend time with Jesus, when we spend time in the word, things just start coming out. Scripture starts coming out. In the middle of a battle, you know exactly what to say, right? That's what comes out. What goes in, Matthew 15, 17 says, what goes in must come out. So what you watch, what you see, what you read, that goes into you. And then eventually it's going to come out either through behavior, your words, it's going to come out. That's why I'm so intentional about making sure of, you know, what I watch, what my kids watch, because what goes in is eventually going to come out. That's scripture. And so we want to become the same image. And it's the same with Jesus, right? Like we want to mirror him. And the fruit is how we know whether or not someone is spending time with God. And God's reflection is so beautiful. And he wants that same glory. He wants to go from glory to glory with you. He wants to take you to that next step, that next level. And we have to know that that mirror is the truth. When we look in a mirror, it doesn't show us a false image. It shows us a true image. It shows us his son. It shows us him. It shows us the Holy Spirit. And so that is truth. Anything else that you look at is false doctrine. Anything other than this word is a false idol, a false God. There's only one true God, right? We sang that this morning, one true God. And so we've got to be sure that we're looking in that mirror. Romans 8:29 says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among the brethren." So Jesus came to be the firstborn, and we came behind him to be the brothers and sisters of Christ, to look like him. We can't be doing certain things over here trying to follow Jesus. There's things that we have to surrender in order to move up in that weight class. And it's unfortunate and it's sad. And I know even for me, I'll be very honest with you, it's hard to let go of the old tier, the lightweight tier, because the lightweight tier used to go off when things happened, used to be mad. And God has me, I explained it to my friend the other day, it's like the old tier, lightweight tier, and then there's like this space, and it's like the heavyweight tier. And it's like I'm right in the middle, and that's where I got the middleweight class. And I'm just like, I want to respond this way. And God's like, no. God is like, we're not doing that no more. You got to move up. And it internally kills me. I cry some nights because I'm just like, I just want to go off, Lord, and you won't let me. And he really just wants me to move on and let it go. And so that is something that he is actively working on me with. But so those of you who are in that space, you are not alone. We are all in this together, okay? We are on this plane together. We are all in this together. And so we just have to make sure that that fruit that we bear, right, is of Christ. It's that fruit of the Spirit. And last and certainly not least, when we go from glory to glory, this refers to degrees, right? And when I read this, I was just kind of like, man, I want to get my high school diploma in the Lord, in glory. I want to get my bachelor degree in glory. I want to get my master's degree in glory. I want to get my doctorate. And however high I have to go, I want to go to every degree level in that, so that he can expose him to who he is to me. And the work of that transformation is a continual progression. It'll never end until the resurrection of believers. So it's an everlasting movement forward, and it works truly from glory to glory. No matter where you are, and I don't know why I keep coming back to this, we don't have to be ashamed of what we've done or who we are or what happened to us. You don't have to be ashamed. You just need to know that God will meet you wherever you are, and he will bring you from glory to glory to glory. And that he is excited to have you. And you wonder why people don't read the Bible. I used to think it's because they thought it was boring, but I wonder if it's because it's a reflection and it shows us who we are. It addresses the spaces that we don't want to address. Right? And so we build up this shame, this heaviness of shame that we don't have to have because he died for it. And that's what the devil wants us to do. He wants us to build up all this shame, to be upset about, you know, whatever happened, and to never come to Christ. But I want to have you go to this place and envision yourself. And if you will, trust me, just close your eyes for a second. I want you to imagine yourself sitting at a table and there's a veil in between you and Christ is on the other side. And God gave it to me like this. He said, there's scissors on your side and there's a sign that says, use the scissors to cut the veil. And so as you're sitting at this table and there's this veil across from you, but you see just, you can kind of see there's something over there. It's Christ. I'm telling you who it is. It's Christ. But there's a sign on your side that says, use the scissors to cut the veil. Some of us have already been given that direction. All of us have probably been given that direction. You can open your eyes. But none of us have done it. He gave you the scissors to cut the veil. All we have to do is cut it. and his full glory is shown to us. His face is unveiled. And so going from glory to glory increases our spiritual weight, and it gets us ready for the next attack. Because after God gave me that encounter, I had attack after attack after attack, and it was wearing me out. I probably didn't hit a good place until yesterday, if I'm honest. And so what I've learned is when he says something, do it. When he says something's coming, believe him. And then be sure that you know that he's going to welcome you with open arms. He is not going to shun you away. But it takes humility to bend down and get on your knees. Humbleness to know that you can't do this without him. None of us can live this life without Christ. And so from glory to glory, increase your weight. Level up. Get stronger in him so that you're immovable. You're rooted. And when the storm comes, you don't sway from left to right. But you're ready to stand strong because your weight has increased. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father God, Lord, I ask that you would hear people's prayers today. Being able to increase their weight. Being able to, Lord, spend more time with you to beef up, God, in the spirit, so they would be ready for whatever is coming their way. I pray that you would hear surrender in the spirit, Lord. I pray that you would meet them where they are so that they would not remain comfortable, but that they would surrender and take an opportunity, not a chance, but an opportunity, Lord, to become uncomfortable, to walk with you, eyes closed, hands surrendered in the air, knowing that you will take them from glory to glory wherever they are. And so I pray for my lightweight believers, and I pray that you would release them, God, from the milk, and that they would embrace and receive the meat on their way to becoming a heavyweight believer. And I pray for my babes in Christ that are new to this place. And I pray that you would just sit and teach them, God, just like you did Paul, Lord. Teach them what they need to know, God. Transform their hearts and their minds and make them who you have called them to be. And for my heavyweight, I just pray, Lord, that they would continue in their stability and become stronger and stronger, ready to receive the next level of glory. And I can't forget about the middleweight. Midweight, let's stop being inconsistent. Let's be disciplined. And just embrace who God is calling you to be. So God, touch every person that's listening to this message, Lord. Those who are online, those who are in-house, those who may see this later on. And help them to know, God, that through their study, through their word, through your word, through their worship time with you, through their prayers, God, that they would be increased. And each time that they would get to that level that you have called them to, that you would take them on to another glory. Another level of patience, Lord. Another level of grace, God. Glory to glory in the name of Jesus. And so we thank you, God, for this word. We thank you, Lord, for the boldness, God. We thank you, God, that you dwell within us and that we are a mirror of you. So help us to stay in the mirror each and every day, to see ourselves in this word. and allow our minds and our hearts to line up so that our actions can come forth. God, we honor you with this word. God, we thank you, Lord, and we lift up your holy and righteous name. It is in your Son Jesus' name that we pray these things. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Father, we just thank you for that word. We thank you because there's always more in you. We thank you because you want to take us from glory to glory. All we have to do is yield and say we are surrendered to you. Amen. 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 That was a great word of God. At this time, we're going to go ahead and worship and give in. So as you guys know, we need your support for the many things that we do. So if you haven't yet, please go ahead and support by giving. Also, next Wednesday, there is no Bible class, but there is a laity service. So please come out and support those that are speaking. And August 3rd, next Sunday, we are having Bring Your People to Church Sunday. So bring your friends, family, coworkers. In fact, my boss might actually be here. So be nice to her when she comes. Invite cards are at the door. So definitely grab some and pass them out to your people. Amen. With that being said, let's just close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your presence this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you because there's always more in you, Father. We thank you because all we have to do is press in and simply say yes to your plan, and you will definitely show us more of you. We honor you for who you are. We honor you for what you're doing. We honor you for what you've done, and we just thank you. We just thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In your mighty, precious name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.